So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 6, entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, texts 57 and 58. I'll recite text 57 on my own. Translation. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from the Bhattacharya, he immediately remembered Lord Vishnu and began to speak humbly to him as follows. Text 58. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Because you are a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, you are the master of all the people in the world and their well-wisher as well. You are also the benefactor of all kinds of sannyasis. Please repeat after me. Because you are a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, you are the master of all the people in the world. And their well-wisher as well. You are also the benefactor of all kinds of sannyasis. Purport. Because the Mayavadi sannyasis teach Vedanta philosophy to their students or disciples, they are customarily called Jagat Guru. This indicates that they are the benefactors of all people. Although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not a sannyasi, but a householder, he used to invite all the sannyasis to his home and offer them prasadam. Thus he was accepted as the best well-wisher and friend of all the sannyasis. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namushtute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tumi Jagat Guru Savaloka Hita Karta Vedanta Padayo Sanyasira Uparkarta. Because you are a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, you are the master of all the people in the world, and their well-wisher as well. You are also the benefactor of all kinds of sannyasis. Verse 57 said, as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from the Bhattacharya, he immediately remembered Lord Vishnu and began to speak humbly to him as follows. So what did he hear? He heard the Bhattacharya saying that you are naturally respectable. Besides, you are a sannyasi, thus I wish to become your personal servant. So, hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Lord Vishnu because he was in the mood of a devotee. So therefore, he was thinking, I'm just a servant, actually I'm not the master of anybody. So he's, and so then he began to speak humbly to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as follows. Because you're a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, you are the master of all people in the world and their well-wisher as well. You're also the benefactor of all kinds of sannyasis. So, a teacher of Vedanta philosophy is very respectable, to be honored. Vedanta Sutras written by Vedavyas, who's an incarnation of Krishna. So he's, and ultimately this is the Vyasa-san. So he's actually the speaker. He's the teacher of Vedanta philosophy. But of course in our time, Srila Prabhupada is the greatest exponent, Bhakti Vedanta, of Vedanta philosophy. And he is the master of all the people in the world, and their well-wisher as well. So definitely Srila Prabhupada was the well-wisher of everyone. He used to sign all his letters, "Your ever well-wisher." So he was definitely the well-wisher of everyone. He proved that in so many ways, just by leaving home, leaving Vrindavan, to travel the world so many times. In pursuance, Gauravani Pracharine, we say, don't we? In Prabhupada's obeisances, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pasheta Deshatarine. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says, because the Mayavadi sannyasi, so he's Shunyavadi, saving us from Mayavad philosophy, saving the whole world from Mayavad philosophy, through teaching actually Vedanta philosophy, or Bhakti Vedanta philosophy. So he is actually says, these Mayavadi sannyasis, they are customarily called Jagat Guru. But actually, who is the Jagat Guru? It's Srila Prabhupada is the Jagat Guru for, well, I presume for the next 10,000 years, the Golden Age, which he's done so much to inaugurate. Well, of course, it was inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Prabhupada has actually spread it throughout the world. So this indicates that they are the benefactors of all people. So sannyasis, their whole purpose is really just to be the benefactor of all people. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the greatest benefactor, the most munificent incarnation of the Lord, because he's carrying the all merciful nature of Srimati Radharani. Although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not a sannyasi but a householder, although he had actually taken kshetra sannyas in one sense, in that he vowed never to leave Jagannath Puri. And he used to invite all the sannyasis to his home and offer them prasadam. Thus he was accepted as the best well-wisher and friend of all the sannyasis. So I think this slogan here, live to give, is a wonderful motto to live by, live to give. And this is actually what Srila Prabhupada demonstrated, what Look, even Krishna, what a speaker, Srimati Radharani, their whole mood is just to give mercy, to give love. So therefore, that is actually what's required of all living entities, actually. So there's some wonderful verses, which I've noted in my book here. There's one particular verse which is Krishna himself actually saying the same thing. Basically, live to give. It's from the 10th canto. And when in the 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't know if anybody knows what that chapter's about, but it's mostly about Krishna stealing the clothes of the young gopis. Of course, they were doing the Katyayani Vrata, and that's actually going on now. So somewhere, or presumably in Vrindavan, they're actually, the young gopis are actually doing the Katyayani Vrata at the moment, in order to get Krishna as their as their husband. And Krishna fulfilled that desire. But after that, it became very hot. And after Krishna had rejoined the rest of his gopa friends, it became very hot. And then they saw some trees. And of course, there's trees everywhere in Vrindavan. So they decided to take shelter under the trees from the hot sun. And and Krishna started saying, look at these trees, aren't they so merciful, so kind? They're providing everything for everybody else and just enduring all the elements. Everything that the tree possesses, it gives. Its wood, its bark, its leaves, its fruits, its twigs, and just giving completely. So in that mood, Krishna spoke this verse. Itava jamma sapalyam dehinami hadehishu pranayeta diya vacha shreya acharanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So this is completely contrary to what modern society is advocating. It's modern society is saying that actually your duty is just to be happy. But Krishna says, no, actually the duty of every living being is to perform welfare activities. What with? Four things. What are those four things? Do you remember what it is? What? With, pranaya, which means his life, or his life's energy. Prana means, it means energy. So, with your life, and next? Artaya, with your wealth. So if you have any wealth, you should use it for the benefit, for the welfare of others. Anything else? What was the third one? Pranaya, artaya. Dia vacha. Dia means intelligence. So we have to use our intelligence to benefit others. And vacha, words. So it is a duty, Krishna says, of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. And this is Krishna speaking to his cowherd boyfriends. So that verse basically is giving the same meaning as this: live to give. This is actually our purpose in life, just to benefit others. And in that mood, there's another very wonderful verse. And if you've read, I've got too many verses in this notebook. Let me see. It's before. Oh no, I see. So in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very wonderful episode explained to us. And it's where Indra, he's been defeated by the demons. And as usual, Indra, he goes to Lord Brahma and asks for help, and then Lord Brahma goes to the Lord. And he says, he's told by Lord Vishnu, actually, the way to defeat the demons is that you get the bones of Dadichi. Now, Dadichi is a living person. So this is quite something. So Indra and the demigods, they go to see Dadichi Muni, who's a great sage, and he's doing his austerities, and they straight out ask him, "We need your bones. If you were asked that, you would be a little bit surprised, wouldn't you?" So, at first, Dadichi Muni, he jokes with them a little bit. He says, "Why should I give you my bones? You know, I mean, that's giving you my life." Anyway, he jokes with them. But then eventually, he agrees with this verse. Actually, I'll just read the English. Well, actually, I'm going to read one or two of the verses before that, because they're also in the same mood. Dadichi says, "O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher cause of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings." Maybe the trees, they're immovable. So that compassion, he's saying, if you don't have compassion for humanity in its suffering, and you are not prepared to sacrifice your body, because it's impermanent anyway, you're going to lose it anyway. Krishna says the same thing in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, doesn't he? He says, you know, the body's going to die anyway, but the soul's eternal, so do what's beneficial for the soul, not just for the body. Or eternal glory, if he doesn't sacrifice for eternal glory, is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. And the immovable beings are the most pitiable, actually, because it's such a suffering condition. You know, you can't move. You know, you just have to endure, like those trees, you just have to endure the heat and the cold, the rain and the snow and the hail, everything. So if we don't have compassion for suffering humanity, we're even pitied by the immovable beings. Then Dadichi says, "If one is unhappy to see the distress of other living beings and happy to see their happiness, his religious principles are appreciated as imperishable by exalted persons who are considered pious and benevolent." So that's what Srila Prabhupada, he was very unhappy to see the distress of other living beings. I remember Moksha Lakshmi Mataji giving on Prabhupada's either his appearance or disappearance day, giving her offering to Srila Prabhupada and explaining how, you may have heard her say this on other occasions, how she was actually, somehow or other, she was in a car with Srila Prabhupada going up Oxford Street. And she saw Srila Prabhupada crying, tears coming down his face. And she asked Prabhupada, what's wrong? You know, have we done something wrong or we're not? And he just gestured to all the people on Oxford Street. That's why he was crying, because everybody just rushing about on Oxford Street, actually they're suffering humanity. So that's compassion. So Prabhupada was unhappy to see the distress of other living beings. And of course, happy to see their happiness. So such a person who is like that, his religious principles are appreciated as imperishable by exalted persons who are considered pious and benevolent. So then Dadichi Muni says this verse, which is the one I was originally thinking of. This body, which is eatable by jackals and dogs after death, just imagine this body is eatable by jackals or dogs after death. Or if not by jackals or dogs, because we don't have many jackals around here. We do have dogs, but they generally don't eat you. But we do have worms in the soil. We have fire that consumes the body. So this body, which does not actually do any good for me, the body is not doing any good for us. The spirit soul, because that's who I really am, the spirit soul, he's saying. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives, must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be sources of tribulation and misery. So, and then in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Etavaj Janma Saptal Yam, which I already quoted to you. Shukadev Goswami said, Dadichi Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. And then they used his bones to make a thunderbolt in order to defeat. Actually, it was Vichasura, so that he could actually overcome Vichasura. And he's another amazing personality, Vichasura. But we won't go into that. So this is the doctrine of preemptive giving, according to Vaisheshika Prabhu, sorry. These verses actually embody this doctrine of preemptive giving. That's his... I think he actually spoke about that when he came here a few years ago. So that's actually what we should be doing, preemptive giving, and the greatest benefit we can give to anybody is to give them actually knowledge, which we've already talked about, which is that the body is temporary. It actually is of no... Well, it is a benefit to us because we can actually become Krishna conscious with the human form. But in terms of what Dadichi Muni was saying, it can perish at any time. It will be eaten by dogs or jackals or worms or the fire. So therefore, we should engage in giving this knowledge that actually all this suffering humanity, they are spirit soul, which is naturally blissful. Everybody should be blissful. And this is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to give that knowledge that we are actually by nature happy, joyful, full of knowledge and eternal. And that's what's in these books, the Bhagavad Gita, we have most prominently on Prabhupada's altar. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gornita Ki Jai. So, in that mood, I thought it would be nice to read something about how book distribution first started. And actually, it started first with Srila Prabhupada. So, in Lilamrita, the last volume, volume 6, Uniting Two Worlds, but the first chapter is entitled Please Distribute Books. So I'll just read how Srila Prabhupada actually started it off. And this was in San Francisco, July the 5th, 1970. Satsvarupa Goswami Maharaj, he writes, Srila Prabhupada was attending the 1970 Rathayatra in San Francisco. The day was cold and windy, and about 10,000 people had joined Lord Jagannath's procession through Golden Gate Park. Srila Prabhupada danced in the street with thousands of participants during the parade, addressed a large crowd in an auditorium by the beach, and looked on as his disciples had distributed a free vegetarian prasadam feast to thousands. But when a devotee arrived with a half a dozen advanced copies of Volume 1 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada appeared especially pleased. Surrounded by devotees and curious festival goers, Srila Prabhupada held one of the books, admiring the front cover with its full-color picture of Radha and Krishna. The volume was big, almost 7.5 by 10.5 inches, and its dust jacket shone, silver with large bright red letters, Krishna. It was a transcendental wonder in Srila Prabhupada's reverent hands. Onlookers could barely restrain themselves from pressing in against Srila Prabhupada to peer over his shoulders. And they didn't restrain their exclamations when Prabhupada smiled and opened the volume. He examined the illustrations, the print, the paper, and the binding. "Very nice," he said. He fixed his attention on a page, reading. Then he looked up and announced that this greatly valuable book, Krishna, had just arrived and that everyone should read it. Holding one book in his hand, with the other copies stacked before him, he said that anyone who so desired should come forward and buy a copy. People began clamoring, and hands with $10 bills thrust forward, while voices cried out, begging for a copy. And Prabhupada promptly sold every book, not even keeping one for himself. For the devotees, Srila Prabhupada's selling of the Krishna book was the most spectacular event of the Rathayatra festival. They pored over the purchased books in groups, discussing Krishna's pastimes and the effects they would have on the people of America. Ramananda told how in 1967, Prabhupada had given away his advanced copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya in his room at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. Just before that book had arrived, Srila Prabhupada had been sitting and talking with Shatyavrata, a disciple who had previously stopped coming to the temple due to petty quarreling with his godbrothers. When the copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived, Srila Prabhupada had lovingly inspected it and then offered it to Satyavrata as a gift. Brahmananda had been astounded to see Srila Prabhupada give away his only copy of the book. Having helped publish the book, Brahmananda knew how painstakingly Prabhupada had written it and how he had anxiously waited 1 year for the book to finally see print. Yet once it had arrived, he had immediately given it away to a disciple who was not even in good standing. Satyavrata had taken the book, thanked Srila Prabhupada, and left, never to be seen again. Although Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to be as eager to distribute Krishna conscious literature as he was, none of them knew how to do it. Distributing a magazine and asking for a small donation was one thing, but a big hardbound book? When the entire shipment of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived in New York in April of 1967, the devotees had hired a truck, picked up the books at the dock, and unloaded them at 26 Second Avenue. They had then shipped them to ISKCON centers in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Boston, Montreal, and elsewhere, and there they remained. Some devotees had tried placing ads in magazines and leaving books in bookstores on consignment, but the books didn't sell. How to sell these big hardbound books remained a mystery until something significant happened, an accidental discovery. So that was how Srila Prabhupada inaugurated the distribution of books himself, personally. But then, how did the devotees, because for 3 years, 3 or 4 years actually, these Teachings of Lord Chaitanya books, they were sitting in temples, undistributed, quite a long time actually, and they were devotees were just wondering, how can we possibly distribute these? So one day in 1971, while driving back to the temple after chanting in downtown San Francisco, two brahmacharis stopped at a local service station for gas, petrol. When the attendant came to the window for money, one of the devotees showed him a Krishna book. The attendant seemed interested, and the two devotees began preaching the glories of Krishna consciousness. When they suggested he take the book as payment for the gas, he agreed. Astonished at what had happened and inspired at their success, the two brahmacharis went the next day with several Krishna books and stood in front of a grocery store. And again it happened. This time they sold two books. Keshava, the San Francisco temple president, phoned his GBC supervisor and brother, Karandara, in Los Angeles to tell him what had happened. "It's like a miracle," Keshava exclaimed. Karandara encouraged him to experiment further. And soon the San Francisco temple had half a dozen men going from door to door, showing the books to people in their homes. When Buddhimanta began selling as many as 5 books in a day, the devotees in other temples, especially Los Angeles, San Diego, and Denver, wanted to follow his example. And whoever tried it and sold a book became caught up in a euphoric excitement. The experience and testimonies of devotees selling Srila Prabhupada's books describe a special taste, distinct from the happiness young men might ordinarily experience by stumbling upon a sales technique and finding themselves on the verge of making a lot of money. The difference is that the devotee's book distribution, being devotional service to Krishna, produces an ecstasy that is transcendental, an ecstasy far beyond even the greatest material happiness. Ordinary business and the business of selling Krishna conscious literature are as different as material life from spiritual life. And anyone observing spiritual life from the material point of view will not understand it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has compared such empirical attempts to understand the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness with attempts to taste honey by licking the outside of the bottle. The young men and women beginning to distribute books in America knew that Srila Prabhupada, by giving them Krishna consciousness, had saved them from hellish life, and they wanted to help him give Krishna consciousness to others. And such preaching, by distributing his books, was ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy. So that's the message, that actually we can become ecstatic by pleasing Krishna, and distributing his books pleases Krishna and Srila Prabhupada very much. So if you wish, you can, for more inspiration, you can read further on in this chapter, of chapter 1 of the final volume of Prabhupada Lilamrita. Explains more how actually the Prabhupada marathon, they called it the Christmas marathon, how that started in, I think was it the same year, 1971? Anyway, you can read it for yourselves. So I'll finish there. Are there any questions or comments? Anybody want to share any Sankirtan stories?
Well, to get the full benefit of book distribution, we should do it in a way to help the person to connect to Krishna in a way on the level he's on. And like I had instances, well, I would show Prabhupada's purport to certain purports I would show to when I was doing books, and the person could not connect to the philosophy too much. When he read the purport, he would just connect and just take the book. So Prabhupada's purports are powerful in a way that,
yeah. Also the pictures, actually, some devotees just show pictures because they're very, very attractive, and you know, people can relate more quickly, I think, to a picture. So that's one way of. In fact, actually, in this day and age, at the moment, with this coronavirus problem, we have to use our intelligence even more. It's like Krishna said in this verse that I quoted. You know, using your for the welfare of all. So we have to rack our brains how we can do it in this day and age, even those obstacles at the moment of actually going out on the street anyway, or even knocking on doors. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna, thank you for your talk and for your class. Very, very nice. I was talking to Srinivas about how Srinivas Prabhu, sorry, about how we get protected as well when we are, you know, trying to like give. Because at times we think that when we, you know, if we give and we don't have anything for ourselves, then, you know, we're not confident in giving. And so I had an instance when I was still in university and I joined the devotees in Canterbury on Sankirtan, and it was during the winter marathon, and the cold is not usually the best place for me anyway, but I went out with them, and it was weird because I hadn't eaten all day, and I was very much hungry, but the shops, not many shops are open that day. And although it was around the Christmas, just getting towards the Christmas season, we went slightly earlier. Not all the shops are open, and I was super hungry, so I was going to like different shops, but none of them had anything vegetarian. And for the whole day, I didn't eat anything. Then towards the evening, we just kept on going. The devotees I was with were just encouraging, let's just go, let's just push on. And so we just did, and I kept on. At the beginning, I was biting my tongue, and I was feeling like, let me just go home. But then I just pushed on. And then one lady came, and she started chastising us. And she was saying something along the lines of air miles, getting these books from India is costing us air miles and, you know, damaging the planet. And she was speaking to me at first, so I was being very kind to her still, and I was, you know, I was in an agitated mood, and I just, you know, held my breath. I tried, you know, to be nice to her and tried to explain to her nicely. And then she just stormed off. She caused a scene, and then she stormed off. Then the day went on, we just carried on, and towards the end, I was almost frightened. I, in my head, was contemplating even eating a sandwich that had garlic in it, because I saw that was the only thing that was in the shop, and I was super hungry. But then the same lady randomly came back, and she was like, I'm sorry. And then she dropped salted popcorn and a fully vegetarian sandwich, no onions or garlic, in over there. And then she just stormed off. And then the devotee I was with looked at me and was like, oh, Ian, you said you were hungry, right? Here's some popcorns and a sandwich. And at the end, I was like, oh, wow, actually, you know, Krishna took care of me, because I was in the mood of, you know, just trying to, you know, to just do it, even though I didn't really want to, even though I was, my consciousness was bad. And, you know, the same person who was kind of, you know, causing us distress at some moment, the same person who helped me. So when we give, Krishna really protects. That was one experience I got.
Yesterday I had on, during a Gaur Purnim marathon, and I was driving Jainitaya. Actually, this is coming from Sower Street, Jainitaya and one or two other devotees, and we went to Aldershot. I don't know if you've ever been to Aldershot. It's a military place, lots of Gurkhas. I don't know if they're still there, but they, at that time anyway, they were. Gurkhas are from Nepal. They somehow or other they got attached to the British Army, and a lot of them were stationed in Aldershot. And I was driving to go to Aldershot, and the other devotees were sleeping, I think, in the car. And I, somehow or other, I just started singing to myself the Guru Vandana, and it really sort of suddenly became very meaningful to me. Because I was thinking, you know, I'm not a very good book distributor. And then, so when we got out in the street, I was distributing, I think it was Science of Self-Realization mostly. And all these Gurkhas started coming to me and taking books and giving, because actually they were paid by the British Army, so they had some money. And somehow or other, I managed to distribute about 40 books while we were there, which is, for me, really, I mean, it's not big for, you know, book distributors, but for me that was amazing. And then we had a Harinam when we got back in the evening, and so I thought, well, just carry on. So a few more books went out then as well. Ladies, have you? First of all, do you have something?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the class. Really wonderful. I've learnt a lot. My question was that, you know, oftentimes when devotees come to the movement, they can go into two extremes. And the first extreme is that it's all about like just giving. and the other extreme is just all about me, 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 my sadhana, my chanting, my this, my that. And both are needed, but are needed in balance. So how do we actually discover and find that balance in Krishna consciousness where we are doing sufficient enough preaching and we are also doing sufficient enough of sadhana?
Well, I mean, the point is we have the first 4 or 5 hours of the day is our own personal sadhana, isn't it? And as I think Antaranga Guru was saying yesterday, you know, all the angas of bhakti are within the morning program. So, you know, that's plenty for ourselves, isn't it? And then, of course, even then, Prabhupada did say, you know, we can read another hour or two, at least, in whatever spare time we have. But, so I think the balance is there naturally, isn't it?
It is there, but I think many of us may not be conscious of it, and so therefore we drift to one extreme or the other.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's not always easy to go out and meet the public because of the experiences like, you know, so, but somehow or other we need to try to do that. Because we already have our own sadhana. That's, if we're following the full morning program, then that side of it's there already, isn't it? So the other side of it is, you know, just trying to... I mean, if you read in here how the devotees were just the early devotees in the 1970s, they were just depending on Prabhupada completely. For them it was... They didn't know how they were going to do it. They didn't have any examples, apart from Prabhupada himself, but they didn't have any training, really. They just had to rely on Super Soul and Prabhupada.
From my own personal experience is that, you know, when we come into temple life and we're chanting and we're reading and, you know, we kind of start to experience the sweetness of it, or at least, well, not the complete experience, but at least we see the benefit of it. To some degree, there's always that kind of then complacency that I just want to be in the temple. I just want to keep chanting. I just want to keep reading. I don't want to go out there. What's the point? There's other people that are doing it. But I think ISKCON is each one of our responsibility that we go out there and we preach and we give Krishna consciousness. Now, I don't know how I did it, but I was just kind of, for me, it was just natural, you know, that kind of desire to go out there to preach, to give Krishna consciousness. But for others, that may be very complacent and comfortable just in the temple.
Well, it may not just... be complacency, it may also be fear or anxiety, but that's an impetus for us to try to take more shelter. Anything from the ladies? I got fear, you've been with life.
I mean, book distribution is always very exciting, an amazing experience, and we had, throughout the years, we went with many different ladies, so, but I believe it's very important that you have a good spirit in your group, and that you're looking and caring for each other, actually, because as you said, Krishna, when Krishna is pleased, then he will allow you to actually distribute books. If there are disturbances, then you will also have disturbance on the street, you know. So, yeah. And there was another point, and I missed it now. Yeah, anyway, so it's a shame that we can't go out, no? Because we are so used to just do it on the street. But, yeah, as you said, you have to think now of different ways. So I think devotees do now by phone mainly, so let's see, this will... probably also work well, you know, let's see how it goes. And so you need to have a good spirit, no? If you are in a good mood, then this will, you will be able to bring it over to the other persons, yeah. Also, so
yeah,
so you are strong then, you know.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, enthusiasm, yeah.
Our family business, enthusiasm is actually the main thing. Because that's catching, isn't it? Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. It's really lovely.
I've been on book distribution with Bhavabhakti's mentee group, and we've actually done pub crawls, but distributing books. And it was actually quite phenomenal how many books went out at this time of year, going to bars and pubs around London. People were really receptive, giving lots of donation as well as taking books and having some really interesting conversations about the higher taste book. A lot of people are conscious now of diet and the impact of the environment. So every single Prabhupada book that can go out, there's always something that is so relevant to today's culture and what people are discussing right now. So they're still so relevant, and we can have those communications and conversations with those people and public. Thank you.
Unless anybody else wants to add to this? Mohan, you want to add something?
Yeah. Really, when you're out there in the street, it's about surrendering and relying on the mercy of Krishna. And yeah, I was really kind of enjoying what Antaranga was saying yesterday, because it kind of really resonated with me that oftentimes you'll go out there and you'll distribute 20, 30, 40, 50 books, and then suddenly you think you're the one who's in control, and then this kind of pride comes in. It's like, look at me, I'm smashing it, and then the next day just comes and it's raining and it's just wet, it's cold, and then your feet are cold, and then you're just trying to distribute books and nobody wants to take it, and you're just like, I'm trying the same tricks as yesterday. Why is it not working? So yeah, that's what it kind of really taught me, is just when we're distributing books, it's not about, like, the effort is there, but we're not the one who's really giving that book. It's through Krishna's mercy, and it's only through Krishna's mercy also the people that we are giving those books, they'll accept or won't accept it. You know, so I just wanted to share that too.
Okay, we'll finish there. Pranchara Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Shukra Ki Jai.